Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
Welcome to the Lux Calor International Sports on a Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah!
America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It is the longest running show, one of the longest that I know of, sports on a Sunday morning. Boy, this show's been around a long time, and it is great to be with you on a very warm day. Took the dogs for a walk, Brian, and then headed in after doing some early morning sportscast with you. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, considering.
Yeah, it is. We're going day by day here, and I know that in terms of your beloved St. Louis Blues, it is going to be a four-month wait here. Look, I'll tell you exactly what I said on Twitter, and it took me just a night's sleep to kind of absorb it because I don't like saying it right when it's over. It's disappointing when it's over.
Yeah.
But I woke up the next morning, and I was like, you know, June 12th, 2019. Now, it's one of the greatest days in the city's sports history. The Blues won the Stanley Cup. We had 14-plus months to celebrate that, but it's just the beginning. That team will be celebrated forever, and those were my emotions. It has been a difficult year in sports to get going and get things going. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins the Stanley Cup, it'll be a tremendous accomplishment. It should not take away. There is no asterisk, and you don't say that after you've been eliminated. It is a very special trophy to win. But for the St. Louis Blues, I'm still in a very good place.
Yeah, I am too. I think that if they had gone straight into the playoffs without the pause, they would have been better off. Part of winning a championship and then defending it, you know, you have to learn how to win. I think you also have to learn how to defend a title. And you spend all summer celebrating and people telling you how great you are. And then you play well until the pause. Then you have time to kind of think about it. You come back. Maybe you come back not quite as sharp. And that's what happened. You saw them in the round robin. They didn't play very well. And they got it going in the first round of the playoffs. But you fall behind two games. And I think one of the biggest issues for the Blues was, obviously Jordan Binnington did not play as well. And I'm not going to pin it all on him. But Markstrom made the saves when he had to. The Blues goaltenders, and especially Binnington, did not come up with a big save when they had to. Last year, Binnington stopped every breakaway. It was amazing. Guys would come in on a breakaway. They didn't have a chance. He stopped every one. This time, I don't think he stopped any. And, you know, Pietrangelo, stick breaks, bad luck. You need the goalie to help you out there. Didn't do it. Things like that. And I think they were playing well enough to win that series, but they didn't get the backstopping that allowed them to make a couple mistakes and then, you know, live to play another day.
Yeah, that's right. Cardinals manager Mike Schilt coming up here in about 7 minutes. We have a lot of stuff coming up on the show. Not a ton of hockey after our discussion here. So I do want to ask you, what do you think the future of this team is? Will they have most of this nucleus? It feels like Alex Pietrangelo might have played his last game. He doesn't know. We don't know.
Right, and I don't know how they're going to fit him under the cap. They're going to have to make a lot of moves to keep him. I wonder if that's why they didn't get Justin Falk and sign him to a big money long-term deal, thinking that maybe they were going to lose Pietrangelo and preparing for that and not leaving a lot of cap space. I hope he comes back, but boy, it's up in the air, and I just don't know how they're going to be able to fit him in, especially because the cap is going to be flat. You know, you're hoping at the beginning of the year you're going to get a little more cap space at the end, but that's not going to be there. So,
yeah, I don't know. He's just been a great St. Louis Blue. I do think at some point he could very well have a statue outside. I mean, he's he's that important. He's had such a great run. He was the captain of the team that delivered the first Stanley Cup to St. Louis. He was the first person to hoist the cup. That picture of him with the sparks flying behind him and holding up the cup is an iconic photo and video in St. Louis Blues and St. Louis sports history.
I mean, it would make a great statue.
Oh,
it certainly would.
Honestly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it gives me chills just to think about it. So if that is it, I mean, it's been a great run, but I'm not ready to call it just yet.
No,
I'm very, very happy that he is back home with his kids and with his family and his wife, and I know that he's a great human being, and I'm happy for him from that standpoint, and then deal with the hockey stuff later. But, gosh, you know, if you look at this Blues team, they didn't have Bozak in that last game. They didn't have Steen. They didn't have Tarasenko. They didn't have Maroon. They didn't have who else am I missing?
Well, Blais missed a few games in there.
But in that particular game,
missed
you know?
A few games. That game there, yeah.
You know, I mean, you're talking about some big-time grinders here.
Right.
And players that really made that Stanley Cup winner go. Just being real, it just wasn't the same St. Louis Blues team. And Jordan Binnington had holes in his game. I mean, he just couldn't stop pucks.
He just seemed to not have that edge. He seemed to have lost his confidence. And when a goaltender does that, you're in trouble. And I think that's what happened. Why and how he gets it back, we'll find out. But
Vancouver's got a shot. Yeah. I mean, that's a nice-looking team right there. And, you know, in this situation, it could be a team like that that just gets a spark and takes off and wins the whole thing.
I mean, Markstrom was just outstanding. To me, it looked like Markstrom's pads were too big because, I mean, he was there to block everything. And you get a hot goalie like that, you can go a long way. Their young talent is tremendous.
I'm not sure I'm pulling for anybody, but I wouldn't mind if they won the cup. I mean, they haven't won a cup. And again, it would be like the Cardinals losing to the Nationals, and that team goes on and wins the world championship. But look, you know, that team wins the Stanley Cup. I'll either root for them. I might pull for the Flyers a little bit. You know, the 1975, last time they raised the cup, that's a long time.
Yeah.
And I have no ill will towards the Flyers at all, so I'm good with that. Anyway.
As James O'Sullivan, our producer, pointed out, the only team without a St. Louis connection in there is Vancouver. Everybody else either has a St. Louisan or a former Blue on their roster.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't realize. James. Yeah. James coming through with a stat, with a little nugget. James O'Sullivan is our producer. That's Brian Kelly. Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager, is coming up. Travis Ford, the head coach of the Billikens, was in my garage. He was center court at Chaffetz Arena doing the garage happy hour on Thursday. He was great. We're going to run some of that back today at 11:05, 11:30. John Mozeliak in his usual slot. We're about a week away from the trade deadline. That's interesting. And we'll hear from John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, Curtis Francois. They're going to run the Indy 500 today in front of no fans, but he is bringing fans next weekend to Worldwide Technology Raceway Gateway. Curtis Francois with us, the owner of the racetrack, at 11:45. Brian Kelly,
That's
we
good.
Appreciate it, man.
You bet. We'll be listening.
Thank you. It's 10:12. Mike Schilt is ready to go. I just heard from him. He's going to be with us. 10:15, the Cardinals manager in his usual spot. He'll be with us for most of this 10 o'clock hour. We'll talk some baseball with him. Good win for the Cardinals yesterday. And they are sitting not bad at 8-8. Back in a moment on KMOX.
The following is a special presentation of sports on a Sunday morning. Welcome to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
The pitch, the runner going, and strike three called. 80-mile-an-hour fastball. Votto barks at the home plate umpire, but that was in the strike zone.
John Rooney with the call yesterday in the third inning. It was a strike. Strike three, as a matter of fact. And the Cardinals saw Kwangyoung Kim get the job done yesterday. 3-0 win over the Cincinnati Reds. And joining us on his radio show, and it's always a treat to talk to him, especially after a win, that's Cardinals manager Mike Schilt. How are you this morning, Mike?
I'm doing great, Tom. How about yourself, sir?
Doing great. That was impressive last night. Really was on a lot of fronts. But let's start with your lefty. KK had it going, didn't he?
Yeah, you know what? He had it going. Good rhythm. Hitting with all his pitches. A lot of movement on pitches in the zone with everything. And made pitches the whole night. Did a great job being very efficient with his number of pitches. And just really threw the ball well for his first major league win.
Boy, he works fast. What a great pace he has, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I mean, everybody has their own rhythm, their own body, way their body works. And but he has, you know, he has a nice rhythm, athletic ability to get the ball, kind of get it and go, and it keeps everybody engaged.
Six innings for KK, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, and 3 strikeouts as the Cardinals had that lead, and it was protected as the Cardinals scored two in the third. I'm going to get to those runs in just a moment because I really like Harrison Bader's game yesterday, of course. But the Cardinals get themselves three runs for KK, and then they turn the ball over to John Gant, and he's good. I mean, his ERA is zero, Mike, and he goes an inning for you.
Yeah, Johnny's been really good, and came in and got a quick – excuse me, Tom. Got a clean seventh and went back out and, you know, wasn't able to get a, you know, lead off ball to start the eighth, and then Miller picked him up with a double play ball. But Johnny's been very effective, been sharp, been fresh.
Yeah, he's pitched six games so far, and in covering those seven and a third, he's allowed one hit. He's walked two, he struck out nine, and as I mentioned, he has not given up a run, earned or unearned. So after that, Giovanni Gallegos followed Andrew Miller, and they were able to lock things down. What did you think of your relievers from the left side and the right side, Mike?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, Miller came in, picked up Johnny in the eighth, got a double play ball, then base hit by Farmer, and then a walk to Votto, and so we bring go to Gio. But I thought Andrew's been sharp. He's been around the plate. The walk to Votto was not as typical as he's pitched yesterday in the year. He's been around the plate, and his stuff's been pretty good. So, you know, he's given up some ground ball hits and balls that found eyes, which, you know, has hurt him a little bit. But, you know, his stuff's been fine. And then Gio came in, strikes out Castellanos, tying him at the plate, and then goes out as a 1-2-3 ninth. So, you know, guys were able to pitch and we're able to get it done.
Yeah, he's off to a nice start. Giovanni Gallegos gets it done, and the Cardinals get the save for Gallegos and get the win. Final score, 3-0. And let's go to this offense. So here's what I just really enjoy is the fact that you can get some aggressiveness out on the base paths, and you did that in the third inning. So Dylan Carlson grounds out to short, but then Bader with the double. Here's how it sounded.
Harrison swings and pops it. It's down the right field line. Long run in for Castellanos, and the ball falls. Bader's digging for second to throw. He's safe.
Yes, he is, and that's just hustle. That's just Harrison Bader. He not only has speed, but he knows how to turn it on.
Yeah, I mean, we know we expect a high level of effort. We get it pretty much every night from all our guys. And you know, Harrison right out of the box didn't take anything for granted and put himself in a position to take that extra base.
Here's Colton Wong.
Wong swings and pops it. Short left field, long run for Galvis, and he can't get it. It's a sliding effort by Winker. And into second base, Colton Wong with the throw, going past third all the way toward home for Miley.
Again, heads up play and hustle, Colton Wong. Boy, you got some burners out there, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, we got guys that can run, but more importantly, you know, being a good base runner is about speed, but it's really about understanding situations and then using your speed. And Colton did that as well. You know, didn't take anything for granted. New Harrison had a chance to go to third, was aggressive. You know, usually you take an extra base. It's what you did in the previous base that really dictates your ability to do it and do it successfully. And he got down the line well, good turn, and then was in a position to re-throw and then, you know, used his speed to get to second base. Big play, obviously, with what happened next.
Here's Tommy Edmond.
A swing and a line drive left center field. That's a hit. It's going to score two. Here's the throw from Winker, and it's cut off. A two RBI single for Tommy Edmond. 2-0 Cardinals in the third inning.
He drove that ball into left center field, didn't he, Mike, and drove it deep enough to get those two runs in pretty easily.
Yeah, nice and bad by Tommy. You know, he's good from both sides of the plate. And, you know, big two-run single there to get us on the board.
Absolutely. And in the fifth inning, it was quick. It was the first pitch, and it was
Harrison Bader swings on the first one, and he hits it over the right field wall for a home run.
Home run for Harrison Bader. He gets the home run, his first of the year, off Wade Miley, and the Cardinals have their 3-0 lead. And as we mentioned, the pitching held up. The defense did as well, and the Cardinals win it 3-0. What I love about Bader is that, first of all, he makes those two errors the day before, and Mike, he was right there in front of the media. Now, you know, I don't know how important that seems to some people, but it tells me a lot about Harrison's character. He's gonna stand there. He's going to talk about what happened. Errors happen. He should have made the play, he said, and he turns around and has a great day yesterday.
Yeah, that's the sign of a high-character winning player, somebody that's going to stand up when things aren't well and you know, face things and own what it is. And then also the winning side of it is also the part of the next day coming back to it and saying, you know what, I got another opportunity and I'm going to take care of what I can take care of and be ready to do some positive things with the right kind of mindset. And he did it. It was impressive.
What do you think about his game just overall? Now, we know defensively he is an elite player, and those things are going to happen in the field. But at the plate, what is he working on without giving any scouting reports? Just how is Harrison coming along in that area? It was a good day yesterday. 2-for-3, 2 runs scored, and an RBI.
Yeah, I mean, his playthrough and discipline continues to improve. So he's taking his walks. He's working his walks. He's starting to learn how to use the whole field. I thought that was representative of last night, clearly. And, you know, just understand that continue to have, I mean, it's not that Harrison doesn't have awareness how it's going to be pitched, but there's a, you know, it's just a learning curve. There's an experience factor that goes into this. And, you know, there's, candidly, where we are at the big leagues and where we are here in St. Louis with high expectations, which we embrace, the patience for that is not, you know, it's not high, and the rope can't, you know, sometimes isn't long. And so, you know, he knows that he's got to produce, and we all do. But there's also a learning curve with facing major league pitching and how they're going to adjust to you and be able to get in that rhythm and get the at-bats and get the experiences. Because one thing people may forget, Harrison got to the big leagues really quick. And there's no absolute to it. Used to be 1,500 at bats. You'd want a guy to get in the minor leagues. You'd be 1,000 at bats. You'd want to get a guy to get in the minor leagues. You know, now it's not the case because guys are getting here so fast. I mean, I had Harrison Bader in 2016 managing Memphis in his first full season of professional baseball, and the next year he's in the big leagues. And so, you know, there's a reason we have minor league baseball. I'm not saying Harrison needs to be in the minor leagues because his talent is big league caliber. But there's a learning curve that you can't mistake yourself that unless you're a very rare player, and we've seen a few of them, i.e. Albert Pujols, and guys like that, there's going to be a lot of that learning takes place outside of people having to see it in real time and in the major league level. And Harrison's going through that process, and he's coming out on the other side of it.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, I mean, it is. It's hard sometimes to remember that it does take a lot of development in this game. I filled in for a play-by-play for Springfield for their radio broadcast, and Bader was in that game. That doesn't seem like it was too long ago, really, but he was their starting center fielder. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was, like, not long ago. So, you know, there is
a development. Yeah, 2016.
Yeah, you know, and now we're seeing – it's early, but you're seeing Dylan Carlson is learning, isn't he? I mean, you know, everybody wanted to see him. We're all seeing him. He's a special guy. We know that he has talent, but there will be an adjustment there, Mike.
No question. I mean, I think your expectations are misguided if you think these guys. I mean, look, we're hopeful, and you know, I think Dylan's going to be just fine. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of luck. I think his approach. Is pretty advanced, so I will say that for Dylan. He's got a pretty advanced approach. He's got an even keel way of seeing the game. Clearly has ability. So, you know, I think his curve will be fairly steep, and he'll be just fine. And we can get him out there, let him have his at-bats. But to think there's not going to be moments of inconsistency, you know, clearly we hope that's not the case. But you know, you're talking about a 21-year-old young man that, you know, just got the – Triple-A last year with, you know, last third of the season and did great and dominated and is a great player. And I have every expectation he's capable of doing that now. But I'm also realistic to know if there's a little inconsistency in what that looks like. The game is hard and there's a learning curve to it.
And finally, just rounding out your outfielders, Tyler O'Neill has 3 home runs, but hitting 170 so far. And Dexter Fowler has quietly put together some games here. I mean, he has a dozen hits. He's hit a couple of home runs, but you know, he's hitting .279. He was a DH yesterday, but he's been fairly consistent for you in the outfield. How have you evaluated those two outfielders?
Dex has been great. I mean, he's taking great at bats. He's really worked hard on learning to play right field and playing, you know, getting to understand, you know, with that position a little bit more. And he's put a lot of energy effort into his defense and all aspects of his game. And, you know, it's showing up. He's in the right spot a lot. He's throwing the right bases. You know, veteran player, smart player, taking quality of bats from both sides of the plate. You know, a couple of big homers. You know, one in Chicago off Hendricks to get us on the board. You know, Dexter doing everything we've asked him to do and playing the way he's capable.
And Tyler O'Neill, so far, what have you seen from your big left fielder?
Done damage. You know, he's got the three homers you mentioned, and he's taken some good at-bats. He had a huge walk the other night in that comeback win in the ninth off Iglesias. He's had some really tough at-bats. He had a couple walks in Chicago that led to some innings that helped us win some games. So similar to Harrison, getting his play zone discipline dialed in, still, you know, improving in other areas. You know, the average, it's you know, the number one average really is offensive metrics, you know, OPS. His OPS is pretty darn good. You know, the average is not as high, but, you know, he is getting on base and he is doing damage. And those are two biggest things that, you know, you're looking for in an offensive player. You know, and you know, we just get more consistency with the contact. But he is in the zone more. Then you're talking about even more damage, and you're talking about a really, really good player offensively.
That's Cardinals manager Mike Schild. It's 10:30. We'll come back for another segment as he is at Busch Stadium getting ready for the Cardinals and the Reds this afternoon. It's a 1:15 start. Daniel Ponciglion is the starting pitcher. We'll talk about him and a lot more with Cardinals manager Mike Schild. That's next on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. I'm Tom Ackerman.
Now, back to the Mike Schild Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman with the Cardinals manager, Mike Schild. It's 10:35. The Cardinals play at 1:15. Mike is stepped aside for just a moment to join us from his office down at Busch Stadium. And, Mike, we appreciate it very much. I wanted to ask you about this fact, 181. That's the batting average against the Cardinals this season through 16 games. It's far and away the best number, batting average against opponents hitting just 181 against your club in Major League Baseball. No one is even close to touching that just yet. And I wanted to go back to some who have made that happen, back to KK yesterday, and more, I guess, than the numbers, and he's really good, but what a year. I mean, you think about what he has gone through. And not only coming over to this country, but then right in the middle of a pandemic, he jumps into a major league club for the first time and does that last night. I mean, that's pretty special.
Yeah, you know, alluded to it earlier, but speaking to his character, he's just a winning guy. He's got a really wonderful personality. He's clearly got a flexible go with the flow, some mental toughness. I mean, all that's required to deal with everything he's dealt with. I mean, you know, in and of itself, it's a challenge, and to come to another country, compete in another league, everything's, you know, foreign. You know, he doesn't know the league. He doesn't know the culture. He doesn't know, you know, pretty much anything about what's going on over here, and everything is, he's learning on the fly and he's adjusting, and he adapted really well in normal circumstances to something that's already an inherent challenge. And then the world stops and, you know, he's pretty well stuck with his interpreter without his young, beautiful family. And then comes to St. Louis and, you know, got 3.5 months where he's really just hanging out. And that's got to be, I can't imagine how hard that is. I mean, it was a challenge for, and it still is, you know, for all of us, what's going on. It was a challenge for me, and I was with, you know, my beautiful bride Michelle and the family, and, you know, we were safe, but it was still, you know, it was different, but this guy's in a foreign country without his family. And then we get back to resuming in summer camp, and, you know, we change his role at the end with Carlos and Miles earning their spots back in the rotation, and he goes to the bullpen, and it's good attitude about it, you know, win first, team first kind of guy. And then he, you know, we have another setback and another pause for 2.5 weeks. And based on Carlos and Miles' situation, put him back in the starting rotation, build him up. And he gave us a good start in Chicago, and he gave us a really quality start yesterday. So, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. I mean, and I love that Wainwright, of course, Waino is one of the first people to greet him, to befriend him, to be with him. But I know that you have some great teammates. But that's a cool relationship. I loved hearing that they were out playing catch, you know, during all of this.
Yeah, you know what? It's you know, you hope you never take for granted the people of Adam Wainwright's character. You know, we appreciate what he does here for the group, his leadership, his stewardship, his heart for people. But when it carries over into away from the field, you know, him and Jenny, I know, were very welcoming of KK. And of course, they, you know, took, you know, were obedient with the social distancing and all that, and everybody was super smart, I'm sure. But, you know, they're just high character people that just care. And, you know, he's going to shepherd what goes on here and help grow the players here, but he's also going to be intentional about helping people and caring about people, you know, in something that's bigger than baseball. It's just very admirable, Adam Wainwright.
No doubt. And he's been a big part of everything that's happened here so far on the mound, as well as the Cardinals, as I mentioned, have been very good out of the gate pitching wise. We knew this team excels in run prevention, and your club, when it has all phases going, is very, very tough to beat. But just with the run prevention itself, I mean, look at Dakota Hudson. Now, that was a performance, man. And now, and understandably, like, and you mentioned it, there's a pitch count. This is a different kind of year. You have to adhere to certain things. And I know that's not easy necessarily to take somebody out of the game after they're pitching so well, but it had to be done, didn't it?
Didn't have to be done, but I did it. you know, Tom, you know, no one, you know, look, we want to win. We want to compete. There's every person in this clubhouse has a dedication to us, you know, winning baseball games, and including Dakota, a lot of time, energy, effort into it. But, you know, when you look up and you've had multiple pauses and you physically guys can't get outside for 2.5 weeks almost, and you've got – and regardless, I mean, we're clearly going to be a little bit more aggressive with, you know, Waino, who was able to do some things a little bit more than other guys, built for it in his, you know, on the road and in his home setting. You know, but I can't look up with Dakota and go, and we took him to right at his limit the first outing. He had a long first inning, the first outing, and then settled down and took him right to where we were comfortable. And then, you know, all these guys, hardly any of them are going to get most of them are going to be a 5 days, where typically during the course of a season you get them on a 6 day or skip a guy. And, you know, we're going to have to ride with a lot of five-day rotations for a while, and we do get times where we can guys get an extra day. And he's coming back out, and he threw 55 pitches, and we were comfortable with him throwing no more than 75, which is a 20-pitch increment. And he was right there, and he threw great. You know, he's got a shutout going to fifth. I mean, I don't claim to be the manager, best manager in the game, but, you know, I've managed a few games, and not typically where you take guys out, so, you know, but, and it's a challenge to do it, but it's the right thing. And my wrap-up point is this: you know, you got Votto coming up, and he's capable of having a 8 to 10 or 12 pitch at bat, and so now you're talking about, if he has something close to that, you're talking about, you know, almost going half the pitches more than he threw previously in his next outing, and we would never, ever do that in a build-up scenario. And it's just not fair to Dakota from a long-term standpoint. And, you know, the conversation is, and I've heard it at the amateur levels or the professional levels, you know, I feel good. He feels good. He looks good. Yeah, in the moment, you feel great. And, you know, but my obligation to Dakota and his family and this organization is the health of our players. And we know they got to play. And there's every day they go out there, they're compromised on some level to be challenged, but I've got to use my judgment and my experience and the staff's experience to make those decisions. And I want to make sure that Dakota Hudson's good on September 5th, on September 20th, on October the 10th, and, you know, February of my man, in February of 2021. And that's what resonated that decision. And, you know, that's where we're at. But Tom, you know, as you know, we're in unprecedented times. We're talking about three different breaks. We're talking about 2.5 weeks out in the middle of the season, losing a third of your club and half your staff. And, you know, there's going to be some residual things that happen because of that. And we accept it, manage it, and do the best we can with it.
Thank you for that. And I know that you have a lot of pitchers you have your eyes on right now. You know, I mean, you have Carlos Martinez. He's throwing. You have Ryan Helsley. He's throwing. Jack's going tomorrow, but you have those two, Martinez in particular. How is Carlos looking? And that has been a recovery as well for him as he starts to work his way back.
Yeah, throwing, looking to maybe get him to a side yesterday, see how he recovers. And we'll see what that looks like. And look to throw maybe a live situation tomorrow, live to hitters, and we'll evaluate it. Helsley's coming back looking strong, and we'll ease him into the mix and get him back going and get him in competition appropriately.
Appreciate you, Mike.
See you on Monday.
Appreciate
right,
you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Day.
You too. Cardinals manager Mike Schilt with us. I'm going to give you our memorable play of the game. It's sponsored by Dolan Memory Care Homes. If you have a loved one with dementia that needs a safe place to live, contact Dolan Memory Care Homes, where they have no more than 11 residents per household. Visit dolancare.com. What should I go with? I played a couple for you already earlier in the show. I'm going to go with this.
The two on, the 1-2 pitch, a swing and a miss. He struck him out.
Giovanni Gallegos. I like this pitcher a lot. Ninth inning.
Here's the next by Gallegos and a ground ball to the second baseman in the outfield glass. He throws it and gets him. The Redbirds win this one 3-0.
I'm telling you, this is a special reliever. He looked good. He's looked good ever since early last season. After they went to Mexico, they came back, and he has been money. He is a tremendous reliever. I don't know that he gets talked about enough, but Giovanni Gallegos is a special pitcher. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Cardinals use the back end of their bullpen, because they have some serious weapons back there, including Gio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to transition into some hoops. Travis Ford will join us for the first part of our conversation leading into the 11:30 talk with John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations. Curtis Francois with us at 11:45, talking some racing on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
From KMOX Sports.
Here's the pitch.
Welcome back to the Lux Calore International Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Oh, yeah!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
And we're live right now. But boy, I love that college hoops coach. You know that. If we can get college basketball, I'll be a happy man. This right here is one of my favorite guys in the game. This is Travis Ford, the head coach of the Billikens. Thank you for joining us on the Garage Happy Hour. It's overdue. It is overdue. I needed to have you on, but I kind of wanted to get a little closer to hoop season. I was just telling you off the air, like, boy, I've just had my fingers crossed that we can get our college basketball in, because it has been a tough year, hasn't it, Coach? I mean, we're all dealing with a lot of things bigger than sports.
Well, we are. And first of all, Tom, I appreciate this. It's an honor for me. I'm a huge, huge fan of yours, and I've been following the Garage Happy Hour, and I'm following some big footsteps, to say the least. So I'm absolutely honored to be on. And in these crazy times, as I'm sitting here at midcourt of Chaffetz Arena, no fans in here now, but hopefully we get some in here soon. Just finished a practice up with the players, and had a great workout today. And it's been crazy times these last 3 or 4 months, obviously like nothing any of us have ever experienced.
I know it really is, and I know it's going to be every day it's a day-by-day situation. How do the guys look, and what's the current situation with your team and your schedule as you know it?
Yeah, you know, this is the first time probably in the last 15 years of these players' lives that they actually took 3 months off and did nothing. As we were all quarantining and sitting in our homes and eating and, gaining weight and all those things, my players were doing the exact same thing, unfortunately. But we actually got back together somewhere mid-June. We brought them back to campus. Again, our first priorities, also try to keep everybody safe. There's our administration from Fred Pistello, our president of the university, to Chris May, our athletic director, have done an amazing job, incredible job of putting together guidelines, protocols for our players and all the athletes and all the students here at SLU. But we brought them back, and we spent about really the first time, about the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, just conditioning, lifting weights. I wanted to get back into it very slow just because they'd been off for so long. We didn't even concentrate on basketball for a month probably. Just tried to get these guys' bodies back. And now probably over the last 4 to 5 weeks, we've been doing a lot of individual workouts with our players, no more than really 4 at a time, still trying to social distance, wearing masks during the workouts. We haven't really done any 5-on-5 yet. That's going to be coming soon, I hope. But it's a very slow process, trying to get back into the flow of things because we're just trying to stay safe as best we can.
Yeah, I hear that. And, you know, you have a good team, too. I know that that also plays into it. I wanted to kind of go back in time also because the way it ended was tough. I mean, you had a team that you thought had a shot to win the A-10 tournament again, and you were actually on the court, weren't you, in New York, mm-hmm. and they said, guys, that's it. We're calling the tournament.
Yeah, when you talk about literally on the court, we were in the middle of practice in New York City, in Brooklyn. And Chris May walks in the middle of practice, and I knew the look on his face that this is not good. But I expected it. I knew it was probably coming. The NBA had just shut down, so we knew, all right, you know, we're probably going to be next. A few other leagues had already shut down. You know, when he came in and gave me the news, I debated a second because we were having one of our best practices of the year. And I said, might as well quit now. It doesn't do any good to keep going. So I just ended practice, brought everybody to midcourt, told them the situation. You know, there were tears. There were guys really tore up because, you know, they were excited about the opportunity in front of them. As you mentioned, we thought we were as hot as any team in the country. We'd won 10 of our last 12 games. One of those losses was right here on a last court shot against Dayton, probably the top two or three teams in the country. So we were really on a roll, really playing well. Thought we had a chance to definitely repeat and be A-10 champions again. But I explained to them. I understood. I explained to them, you know, our health and the health of other people is the priority. And we all left. We left Brooklyn that night. Everybody kind of went their separate ways, and we weren't together for almost 3.5, almost 4 months, which has not happened for me in probably the past 40 years, not being around a team. It's great to be back. It's great to get back to a little bit of normalcy. We just take little baby steps each and every day. Those were strange times in Brooklyn, really strange.
I'm sure they were. You got some players, too. You have a team. Preseason predictions, they're going to start rolling out here, and you're going to be picked by a lot of people to win this conference. I know that most coaches will tell you preseason predictions are just that, preseason prognostications. You got to do it. But you have to be excited about who you have coming back.
I am, Tom. There's no question. When you return pretty much every single player except one, Tate Weaver was played – seventh man or so, is the only non-returning player. You got everybody else back. You're starting five back, top seven. You know, I think our top eight scorers are back. And you add to that, Fred Thatch and Gibson Jimerson didn't play at all last year or any conference play. These are double-digit scorers.
And that's an exciting thing for Travis Ford. We will hear more about that team and tell a few stories with the Billikens coach after the news. We'll break for that. 11:05 back with Travis Ford on Sports on a Sunday morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.